time is here. We'll pick you up and dust you off when you're done with Everclear. We're the ones, have some fun, Recovery 101. Recovery 101, the show you gotta hear. We'll bring you back from smoking crack when the reaper's drawing near. We're the ones, when you're done, Recovery 101.
Thank you to Teddy for our marvelous Recovery 101 jingle. Recovery 101 doesn't speak for anybody except ourselves.
You don't even speak for you. You're not even speaking.
I can choke. Yeah. Like us at hookah the other night.
Shelly, look over his throat.
Yeah. She's like, did you listen to the last show? I wish I could have grabbed him around the throat. We don't speak for anyone but ourselves. The opinions are ours and ours alone. They do not represent NACAA, any of the
A's. Yeah, we know. The whole alphabet soup of recovery.
Welcome to Recovery 101. My name is Bruce B., as always with...
Shelley.
And Mark.
Sweet.
Dude.
Shelley.
What?
What's up today, baby? How you doing?
How are you?
I'm awesome.
How was your day? You didn't mention anything on the last show.
Physically, I'm completely falling apart.
Bruce is being disassembled brick by brick.
Dude, I'm just sitting here and I'm thinking, you know, my back really hurts. My hip feels like it went out of joint for like some weird reason. Yeah. My knee is like giving out on my left hand side. I got neuropathy in my feet. I'm like, really, God? Looking up, I'm like, really?
You remind me of...
It's been a long time...
You remind me of Indiana Jones and Raiders of the Lost Ark.
Yeah.
Where doesn't it hurt?
Yeah, where doesn't it hurt? He points to the side of his head, right here.
And then he points to his elbow.
Yeah, right there.
Well, you know, the thing is, it's like... Usually I think I do a pretty good job building up good karma, and it just doesn't seem like I'm getting any good karma, though. The more good karma I build up, the more body parts start to, like...
Did you get loaded today?
...malfunction. No.
Good karma.
Yeah, good karma. That's true.
It's a successful day.
That's true. So, Mark, what do you got going on? We're coming... Now, by the time the show goes up, the holiday weekend will be over.
Yeah, in theory.
But what do you got? Any plans for Memorial Day?
Going to go out to the World Services Convention, I'm sure, for an evening.
Me too.
Because there's a...
Apparently, I'm going with you.
There's a huge cigar meeting on Saturday, so we will go out and take huge cigars with us. It's actually a huge meeting, like a lot of people, but we'll use an excuse to take huge cigars with us.
Yes.
I have a couple of Cohiba Esplendidos at the house waiting for us to smoke.
Oh, nice.
We should do that on Saturday night, you and I.
Nice.
Because... That's a good all-night smoke.
Awesome. So, Shelly, since no one else will be around, what are you going to be doing on Saturday night?
Probably listening to an audiobook and crocheting.
You could come with us if you don't want the peace and quiet of being just
I was going to say, would you like to go to the World Services Convention?
You guys are going to have a great time.
Or you can sit here on the Muggsy chair and crochet and listen to an audiobook.
And drink my lovely tea and maybe meditate a little.
Yeah.
Hardy.
Or probably will probably end up passing out because I'm tired all the time.
You know what's really cool, though? I got to believe, Bruce, that you and I going out there for like 4 hours or so, we're going to have great topics for next week.
Oh. Almost for sure.
We'll go hunt them out. We'll go create them if we need to.
By the way, well, it's time for the boozy news, and the news not fit for booze. This is from Fran.
Fantastic.
Where do you think that this might take place?
Am I on the right track?
Go right ahead.
Florida.
Florida. This is a Facebook idiot of the week.
Oh, good. I love these guys.
Man
water
posts
wasters.
Drug dealing selfie online. Port St. Lucie, South Florida man might be dealing with a case of selfie regret.
A lot of crap happens in Port St. Lucie.
He posted photos on Facebook showing off as a having a drug dealing lifestyle and how easy it is for him to sell dope in front of the deputies in town.
Until now.
Yeah. They were just waiting for him to do something stupid so that they would have, like, concrete proof.
Yeah. You don't need detectives in Port St. Lucie.
No, you just need a Facebook account.
You just need bloggers.
Yeah.
according to the Martin County Sheriff Office Facebook page, Taylor Harrison, 21, of Port St. Lucie, was bragging about his life as a drug dealer on his Facebook page.
Nice.
Harrison allegedly posted photos of himself selling drugs while standing next to Martin County Sheriff's Officer deputies. Not surprisingly, the photos led to his arrest. They trolled Harrison on his Facebook page and found photos of the 21-year-old bragging about his life as a drug dealer and how easy it is for him to sell drugs while standing next to deputies.
That's great.
The first photo Taylor took of himself as he pulled alongside one of the deputies in his car. So he's holding a bunch of drugs in his car, and he's selfieing across to the deputies in the car right next to him. Let's see.
How did he, if he's that stupid, how did he not get caught before this? Because that's a special kind of stupid.
Yeah.
The second special kind. The second photo is a selfie of Taylor with stacks of drug cash and drugs that he says he sells. And next to his car is a patrol car. And you can clearly see his license plate number on his car.
Huh.
And then the third shot is an undercover camera capturing. He has a shot that he got from the county sheriff's department of him actually selling drugs on camera that they didn't realize was him selling drugs on camera. So he put it on his page as, look at how stupid they are.
Wait, yeah, I was going to say, who gets the special kind of stupid award here?
Well, that's true.
Him or the cops?
Well, but I got to wonder if that he's actually a poser. He's not really doing that. They know he's full of crap, so they just don't try. So he's trying to get arrested. And finally, they had to arrest him so they don't look like morons.
Maybe he's like Bruce's old sponsee who wanted to get a better story for coming to the program.
Oh, yeah. How he got arrested? Selling to an undercover agent. $55,000 bail. That's an expensive selfie.
Yeah. Now we know what the price is of being stupid. $55,000.
From Donald. Donald B.
Hey, Donald.
Now, this was a rather long and involved story, so we're only going to touch on some of it, because he had probably included like 15 links to 15 different stories about the same thing. But what it was talking about was all these studies that have come out lately about studies that have actually been done before that no one's really paid much attention to about certain drugs that seem to be quite effective for alcoholics for lessening your desire to drink. You know, and he sent it in as a topic of, you know, science may one day accomplish this. He's like, maybe is it? And Campral, which is a Camprasat, and then Naltrexone, which is called Revia, and Time Magazine, and a number of things. Time Magazine and the Mayo Clinic and all these places have come out to say that some of these drugs are really quite effective at getting people to not want to drink. It's not saying it cures alcoholism, but what they're saying is, what they're finding interesting is that no one's really getting prescribed these drugs, and they can't really figure out, since there's been studies to show that, not for everybody, clearly, but for a percentage of people it's effective, why are they just sending everyone to, like, program or psychological treatment and not psych treatment and program and a mixture of these drugs?
Follow the money. Well, how expensive are these drugs? And if these people take the drugs, will they then require further treatment?
Well, and the thing is, if it's follow the money, because we know with Pharmageddon, normally pharmacy companies would want you to be taking the drugs.
Only if you take that and then you have to take something else to cover the side effects from that, and then you have to go and see a special doctor for that, and you have to, as many
you
bills as
do.
They can rack up, they will. But if they don't, if they're actually safe drugs and they do what they are intended to do, that cuts the cost to that person in the system.
If you take two pills a day for a year, after a year of not drinking, you're able to not drink. That doesn't help anything.
Does it help their profit margin?
Might help their the lives of the people who don't die of alcoholism. But what's that matter?
Well, if they can't get anybody to take the drugs, that's certainly not going to help their bottom line for the drug company.
No, because they've got a million other drugs that they're pushing.
But who says nobody's taking them? Do we know that they're not taking them, or they're just not being advertised?
Well, they said that they're really not being prescribed very much. But the biggest thing about it is, while they are helpful, some of them are like help 1 in 15 people or 1 in 20 people. So they're like, you know, clearly this isn't an end-all, be-all.
1 in 20? Sort of like the program.
That's true.
5%.
5%.
Baby. 5%.
Any way you try to get sober, it's 5%.
They estimate that there are 8 million people in the United States are currently alcohol dependent.
Okay.
That's
my T-shirt. I'm a 5%er. We have 1%ers.
That's true. We should get those T-shirts.
Some of 5%.
Well, they say that what is the one? What's the drug? Gave it for a long time. Makes you sick.
Anabuse.
That, interestingly enough, they say, you know, Anabuse still to this day is prescribed to lots and lots of people as a kind of diversion.
Yeah.
And they say the problem with
it work.
Is it's, well, they say the problem with it is yeah, it'll make you sick if you drink. So what do alcoholics do? They don't take it. They just don't take it.
Right.
Or like some of our friends, they just drink anyway.
Drink right through.
Get sick.
Our friend Carl.
Yeah. If they drink enough to get sick anyway,
yeah,
then might as well take it and drink and get sick.
A guy I know named Carl, when he was in the Navy, they gave him Anabuse, and he discovered that if he just toughed it out and drank right through it, he could take the Anabuse and drink, and it all worked out.
Drink like a wild man.
This is from Fran. This is kind of a quick shot, but a kind of a cool thing. Not exactly a hero of the week, although this kid he probably was. Are you familiar with who Bryan Cranston is?
No.
Breaking Bad?
Yeah.
Okay, the star of Breaking Bad.
Yep.
This kid, let's see, Stefan Montana, apparently ran into him wherever they're filming Breaking Bad. And
he was done filming.
He went up to him and pled to him, said, I need this girl Maddie to go to the prom with me. And what I need you to do is I need you, let me film you saying that she's got to go to the prom with me. And, you know, and he did. So he films it, and the kids are with him. He says, yeah, Maddie, will you please go to the prom with me? And he says some specific line or whatever, which is I'm not sure if it tells what the line was, but it's a famous line from the TV show, and he says, you know, you really need to do this. So the girl says yes. Then Bryan Cranston flies them out from California to New York, where he's appearing on all this Broadway stuff,
yep.
Flies them out there and gives them, like, the whole thing, limos and...
On his private jet, didn't he?
I don't think it's on his private jet.
Oh,
but, you know... They get Broadway show and all this as on top of the prom thing.
Nice job.
That's sweet.
Nice job, Brian.
Yeah, it's kind of cool. Kind of cool. Oh.
Had to use his tip money on something for the week.
Starbucks barista in London. This guy's name is...
Who sent the story in?
Gabriel... This is Fran. Gabriel Nicquetti.
Okay. We'll go with that.
Anyway, this guy apparently draws quite intense Starbucks cups. So he takes a white cup that's got the logo on it, and he draws them for certain customers.
Right.
This thing has blossomed into, like, this huge thing. If anyone knows what Pinterest is, you can go search on Google for Pinterest and look up the Starbucks white cup contest. There are thousands of these drawings, and anyone can enter it. He's done about 100 of them for customers. Some of them he spent as much as 40 hours on a single cup.
On the clock?
Not on the, none of them on the clock.
Okay, good.
According to him. You know that some of them were on the clock originally.
Exactly.
But it's apparently gained the interest of the British National Museum, which is right across the street from the Starbucks he works at. And there's talk that there may actually be an exhibit of Starbucks cups.
Ephemeral art.
What do you think about that, Mark? Mark says, I'm texting God right now. So anyway, the he has been doing quite a thing. So if you go to the Pinterest, you look up Starbucks White Cup Contest, and you will find out a bunch of stuff. This is from Phil K.
Okay.
This is in Texas. This guy's son made pot brownies.
Okay.
Okay. This kid is facing life in prison.
For what?
For pot brownies.
What happened?
Round Rock, Texas. This guy, Joe Lavoro, said, this is outrageous. It's crazy. I don't understand it. He was a cop for many years. He's also been a lawyer for 22 years. And he says, this should be a misdemeanor. And my son is now facing life in prison.
What happened?
Well, because what they're doing is, because it's been baked in brownies, the whole thing becomes a drug, and the weight, it's not just the amount of just like hash oil that's in it. They take the entire weight of the entire thing. So you can imagine if you made 4 dozen brownies, I don't know how much 4 dozen brownies weighs, but it's a few pounds. So now it's considered to be a few pounds of drugs rather than the, you know, several grams of hash oil or whatever that was put in them, because it's made into the brownies. And so he's being charged with a first-degree felony.
How old is he?
He is 20. Oh, no. It doesn't say. But he the charge is 5 years to life. So, I mean, it could be as low as 5 years. But even 5 years for making hash brownies is a little
excessive.
Excessive.
That is ridiculous.
Yeah. Got to legalize it.
Yeah.
Nationwide, telling you.
It says the charge is so severe because the recipe he used includes hash oil, which allows the state to use the sugar, cocoa, butter, and other ingredients to determine the weight of the drug. So the whole thing now becomes drugs. So if you were to make, say, a couple pounds of this, all of a sudden you have a kilo of drugs rather than, you know, however much, you know, hash oil is.
Somebody's got to get stuck off of stupid on this, because that's, it says teenager, right? I mean, teenagers do stupid crap.
Yes, and I'm sure that's why it doesn't mention his name or his actual age, because he's probably under 18. And the guy says, you know what? If he did something wrong, he should be punished to the extent of what's available. He says, but this is ridiculous.
Wow, I would love to see an update on that, because it's not going to serve him. It's not going to serve the public. It's not going to do anybody any good, and it's only going to destroy lives. There's no point to that whatsoever.
The plot thickens.
Yeah.
Kazoo alert.
Oh, dear.
Heroes of the Week. Gotta love that. All right, college students. They went to Salvation Army.
Yeah.
They bought an old couch.
Yep.
$20.
Yep.
They got it home when they were sitting on the couch. Someone had their arm on the thing in the couch, and it was kind of crunchy sounding. They said, well, you know, it's an old couch, but it had this kind of crunchy sounding noise, you know, papery, crunchy. They couldn't help themselves. They cut it open and looked, and there were envelopes full of cash.
Wow.
Grandpa's sofa got donated to the Salvation Army.
Cash and cash and cash.
How much cash?
Envelopes with a total of $41,000
in cash.
Oh, my gosh.
Nice couch.
So, you know, they're all taking pictures with it. They're like, hey, look at all this, you know, $20. We got this. Then they find the one envelope that seems to have somebody's name on it.
Oh.
So they found the name. They started researching on the internet and phone books and stuff. They found, I can't remember if it's a mother, let's see. They had bought it from Salvation Army. They found the mother of the woman whose name it was. And they contacted her, and they gave her the $41,000 back.
Did she say it was hers?
Yes. Well, yeah, it was hers, but, and then, you know, they said, you know, these guys are, like, from Mount Holyoke College.
Yeah.
Kind of a, sort of a religious-y college.
Yeah.
Okay, so, but why was there $41,000 in the couch?
Because she'd been putting it away for years, and she put it away, and she's like, what? What? Where's my couch? Because apparently the mother or something, when she was off of it, she said, you know, this couch, this is a horrible couch. We need to get you a new couch. So donated it to Salvation Army.
Oh, my gosh. We did that with your mom.
Yeah, my mom doesn't stash money in a couch.
How do you know? Okay.
Yeah, how do you know? Did she say anything?
She didn't.
Okay.
But anyway, she gave me each $1,000.
Oh, well, that was nice.
So that was kind of cool. Elderly woman.
It was nice that they gave it back because, you know.
They said, we almost didn't buy that couch because it was kind of ugly and it smelled.
Like an old woman.
Exactly. And
how's our time, Bruce?
It's about that time.
Okay.
We'll finish with this guy.
Okay.
Or we could talk about the guy who treated his gunshot wound with Neosporin. It's a gunshot wound to the head with Neosporin for 5 days while he could get to where he was being helped. But
well, you remember when we were kids, you cure chrome and a Band-Aid fixes everything.
Pretty much.
Okay. Now, man sues almost everyone for, this has got a dollar sign, then a two, and then 36 zeros after it, which is two undersillion dollars.
Oh.
There's actually a word for that. Largest lawsuit ever. Manhattan man raised his pinky to his lip, like, and he sued the city of New York, a bakery, two local hospitals, Kmart, and a Latina dog owner.
How come?
For $2 undersillion. That's more than all of the money on the planet combined.
How come?
62 years old, he filed the hand-scrawled lawsuit last month. Pretty much anyone else he could think of, damages for civil rights violations, personal injury, discrimination on national origin, retaliation, harassment, fraud, attempted murder, intentional infliction of emotional distress, and conspiracy to defraud.
What did they do?
He's representing himself in the hopes he can score the insane amount of money, which is written like that, which is just quite a lot. His claims range from an infected middle finger he suffered when he was bit by a rabies-infected dog on a bus to a Chinese couple taking pictures of him at a hospital. He said, no money in the world would actually satisfy me, but this would go a long way to helping.
Because he got bitten by a dog.
Yeah. It says he's not responding to calls from the numerous reporters that are trying to get a hold of him. I suppose that's... Well, we'll do that. Alec Baldwin got arrested.
He's outraged. Again. He's outraged. In New York City.
In New York City. Did you hear about this?
Yeah, in New York City.
He gets arrested because he's riding his bike the wrong direction in traffic. So the cops just pull him over like they would pull over anybody.
Yeah.
And he starts bitching at the cop. Don't you know who I am? Because she says, can I see your ID? Because that's what they always say when they pull someone over. Yeah. He doesn't have it. And he goes, well, don't you know who I am? I'm Alec Baldwin. She's like, I don't know who you are. And he's
nice.
He's like, I can't believe, you know, who are these people? They don't even know who I am. And so he's bitching and he's tweeting about it. And he's putting out tweets about what stupid idiots, you know, the city of New York is. And I'm going to move again. Then he bitches that there's paparazzi at his place bugging him and his daughter. And they're like, we're here because you got arrested, idiot. You know, and it's like, we're covering the story. We're not just following you, taking pictures of you and your family as you're going out to dinner. We're following you because you're twittering to everybody on the planet about it. Put the badge number of the cop and everything.
Oh my gosh! What an idiot.
All that stuff.
And by the way, who are you?
Exactly. And there was some woman who was standing around. She backed up the cop's account. She goes, "They confiscated his bike." She's like, "The idiot, he was riding the wrong way." She goes, "You could see other people riding bikes and all riding the right way, and he comes blazing down the street going the wrong way, and the cop pulled him over." Then he got really loud and started bitching at her, so she arrested him. Ta-da.
Well, good for the cops. They
the funny thing
excellent
is
job of keeping the streets safe from all of them.
The deputy inspector,
right,
the commanding officer, recognized him, but didn't recognize him from being on 30 Rock or whatever. Or what is it?
Commercials.
Yeah.
It was his commercials, wasn't it?
No. It's from previous arrests. He goes, "Oh, I know you. We've arrested you before." And that, my friends, is the end of the boozy news and the news not fit for booze.
The New Way Foundation Victory House AWARE program is a state-licensed and certified substance abuse treatment provider located in Burbank. The New Way Foundation has a 50-bed residential program for men 18 to 64 years of age without insurance and outpatient programs for both women and men. New Way is a nonprofit foundation that is partially funded by Los Angeles Substance Abuse Prevention and Control under the Public Health Department and provides affordable and effective treatment. For over 40 years, New Way has been located in walking distance from beautiful downtown Burbank, numerous parks, and major transportation lines. In comfortable settings, nearly the entire continuum of care is offered by state-registered and certified counselors and interns. Don't wait for an accident, arrest, or overdose to contact us. Help yourself or your loved ones find treatment and the joys of recovery. When your way doesn't work anymore, try the New Way. You can reach us at 818-842-9416 or on the internet at new-way-foundation.com, helping 25,000 people find a new way since 1967.
Recovery 101, clean and sober, internet radio. Yeah.
We're back.
Welcome back.
Your dreams were your ticket out. Come on, Shelly.
Welcome back.
Shelly?
Shelly's not going to play.
Shelly's not even going to say hi on the show. Co-host to the show.
Hello.
Hostess with the mostest.
Shout out.
To who? To New Way Foundation?
At Sober College.
At SoFoHoppins.com.
Okay, there you go.
.com. So Mark has a topic.
I do. Oh, I do.
I do? Oh, I do. So,
when should a person start sponsoring other people?
And that's a question that I've heard many times over the years. What do you think, Shelly?
When you've been through your steps.
Who's the lead-out music by?
I mean, to me, that's just a no-brainer. It's like... Now, I have heard, and I was told, actually, when I was in early recovery, because somebody asked me to sponsor them, and I was like, I haven't done my fourth yet. I was only sober for like 4 or 5 months, and I had been putting it off, and I hadn't dropped my fifth yet. I'd written it, and I was told by a one of the counselors that works at the recovery facility that we go to meetings at, that you can sponsor anybody as long as you stay one step ahead of them.
One step ahead.
And I thought, well, but, and I was not comfortable. Now, but my sponsor said, sure, go for it. I was like, ah! She never came back, so it didn't really matter.
YOLO.
Yeah. But then, you know, after I thought about it, and after I had, like, I'd gotten down to working on stuff on my ninth step and, you know, that whole bit, and I thought, you know, I think I'm going to wait on the sponsorship thing until we've done... until I feel comfortable that I've gone through all 12, because, and actually I'm glad I did, because later on I got a sponsee who I was panting to keep up with her. She wanted to work so fast. Mm-hmm. And I'd already worked my steps. So if I was only one step ahead of her, that would not have worked.
Yep.
So that's my opinion, and that's it.
I have heard similar things from people before as well. I certainly wouldn't advise anyone who's like one step ahead of someone to do it, because... I get the whole wait till you're done with your steps too, but then you also run into the people. Like, I'll give you an example. I have 24 years.
Congratulations.
I do not have a 100% completion rate on my ninth step. There are sometimes things come up or there's things that more will be revealed. I haven't quite completed every single possible item yet. So technically that step's not complete. It may never be complete. Or, you know, maybe eventually I find everyone and it is. But because it's not 100% complete, I don't know that that prohibits me from sponsoring.
No, and I think a lot of people have a ninth step like that.
Yeah,
yeah, I'm sure it's prevalent.
Yeah.
But I too have heard people say, oh, yeah, you just, you know, if you're on step four and they're on step one, I get that. But I wouldn't have any of my sponsees do it. You know, I wouldn't tell my sponsees to take a guy. Now, I might tell them that they could take a guy temporarily. Hey, you know what? There's a guy. He comes up to you. He likes you. He thinks he relates to you. You tell him, you know what? I'll help you out on step one, or I'll help you out on step one and step two and see how it goes. And maybe, you know what? Maybe this guy gets through four and five and rips through the rest of his steps. The danger is like what Shelly said. You know, she had this gal who blazed through the steps.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, this gal did every single thing Shelly said, and toot sweet. Matter of fact, still sober.
Yes, in fact, she fired me because I didn't have enough time to work steps with her.
Yeah, I mean,
we got
blazed
up to nine. She was working on her ninth step amends on some things, and she said, you know, I think I need more intense sponsorship. I'm like, oh, and she didn't ask, she fired me.
Right.
And I said, okay, if that's, you know, because it's your recovery, if that's what you need. And I suggested somebody mm-hmm. that I knew was constantly going to meeting, constantly hanging around the club, who was not working, that sort of thing, and had that I respected her level of commitment to her own recovery.
Uh-huh.
And she went ahead and got her. And she's still, so I've never seen anybody that was that ready to not be demoralized anymore.
I mean, and really, and for her age, too.
Yeah, she was
young.
Not even 18. And she said, I do not ever want to feel like this ever again. Whatever I have to do, I will do. And she did.
Do you remember, I think your sponsor might have sponsored her, was I think she was a basketball player.
Oh, yes.
Wow, this gal, who is quite young.
I've heard her story.
Was quite young.
Just call her Gigi.
And she talked she talked about being in a room and so not wanting to leave the room that she took these pots and stuff to pee and poop in because they had like a communal bathroom or whatever. She said, I'm not going out of the room.
Yep.
And I'm like, because I took her with me to a panel one time.
Uh-huh.
And she's going to speak to these people out in prototypes where there's like girls from the street, and a lot of them are streetwalkers and all this stuff. And she's like, you know, I don't know if my, you know, geez, I was in college. And
they hung on every word she said.
Oh, my God. She started talking. I hung on every word she said. I was like, oh, my God.
Yeah, I didn't want her to stop.
Yeah. But what do you think, Mark? What's your opinion on the when are you ready? Because you actually have a guy.
Well,
who I have seen raise his hand to say he's willing to sponsor.
Yeah, that's kind of what brought this up earlier when you told me that, because I guess anybody can sponsor anybody. But, you know, my question is, under the heading of Each One Teach One.
Yes.
You know, the guy who's been there 4 days can tell the newcomer that the coffee's free and to help himself.
Right.
Does that make him his coffee sponsor? You know.
Apparently.
I mean, we all have the ability. I used to bounce a lot of stuff off a lot of people. I had a sponsor. But I had trudging buddies, and I had people that I hung with.
Right.
And did they sponsor me? Kind of, in a way. You know? Are there aspects of my life that you've sponsored me on? I'm sure.
And vice versa.
Yeah, because we bounce crap off each other.
My sponsor, Roger, used to tell me that his sponsees sponsor him a lot.
Yeah. You know, but the other side is I've got another guy, a sponsor, who has just a little over a year. doing well. We've worked the steps. He's doing what he's supposed to do. And he is starting to have people just come up and ask him questions. And he's like, I'm afraid somebody's going to ask me to sponsor them. And I said, what are you afraid of? Well, I'm not ready. I'm like, dude, in 1986, you'd have been an old timer.
nothing will ensure your recovery more than working with a new person.
Yep. So,
how about this? How about the guys? Because I don't know if you've ever had this happen. I don't think Shelly has, but do you ever run into guys and they've worked all the steps and they've got 3 or 4 or 5 years and they just don't sponsor?
I live with one.
Now, is it just that no one ever asked him, or was he the kind of guy that would turn someone down or say, go look for someone?
She's got 6 years.
She doesn't have a sponsor?
She doesn't have a sponsor or a sponsee.
Uh-oh. Well, that means you're the sponsor.
Red flag.
You think? So, you know. And that's rough. I mean, that's really hard. I was just on the phone with my sponsor the other day about it, because it's like, you know, when somebody has a, you know, screaming Mimi and has got no place to go for an outlet, you take the brunt of it. And
that's true.
I could accept a way, but I also kind of like a life of peace and contentment.
Yeah, so that's a rough one as well. So you got the people that sort of want to sponsor too early. Then you got the people who've been around a long time. They're just not sponsoring anybody.
Yeah, it's like, how easy is it? You know, like, I haven't made a lot of meetings lately. And I talked to my sponsor about that. And he said, how's that new sponsee of yours going? So I told him for about 2 minutes. He says, yeah, you don't need any meetings. He goes, you're fine. You got him.
Is he still calling?
3 times a day.
About everything.
Like bad chicken.
Like bad chicken.
It's just a meal that just keeps coming back up again. Now, you know, he does. He calls every day, and he's, you know, multiple times. No matter what I tell him about my schedule, he still will call right in the middle of a time. I told him, look, if the phone rings, I'm going to answer it, because I'm telling you I'm really not available during this time. So if I see the phone ring, I'm going to assume you need to talk to me.
I get shocked at the amount of people that I've known for a long time that will call me when we're recording that know.
We record.
James,
yeah,
who called earlier,
yeah,
was here at 6:30, quarter to 7. I said, we're about to start recording. At 8 o'clock, he calls.
Yeah.
I just finished telling you we're recording. Yeah. You know that.
Yep.
Shelly.
Yes?
You ever been sponsored by your sponsees? Or felt like you were?
I don't think so. Not that I've had any that... Well, I had a friend. Actually, she was a friend of the show. Shout out to Sarah.
Yeah, Sarah, if you ever listen to a show, you should call us.
Who was, for a long time, was very supportive of me. She had like a third of the amount of time I had. But she was very emotionally supportive of
me.
But I wasn't.
Pretty good head on her shoulders, too.
Yeah, she did. She did. But I wasn't sponsoring her. But she was, I guess you could say, a younger person in recovery that had a lot of good things to share. And she actually was quite helpful to me. And I miss her.
Kind of like what Mark was talking
about.
She
moved away. But yeah. I think that, you know, with my experience when I had like 5 months or whatever with that gal that said, oh, will you sponsor me? And then never showed up again. I was so worried that week until the next week when I realized that she had gone through the program and was not coming back.
Yeah.
I was so worried about what I was going to do that I kind of decided that I had a responsibility to pay attention and get me on board first before I try to assist somebody. It's like in an airplane when the little thingy pops down. You help your kid before you help yourself. It's the opposite. Mm-hmm. You help yourself before you help your kid. Yeah. Blah, blah, blah. Yeah. That's what I mean.
Take your oxygen first.
Yes. I needed to get... So I would tell people, you know, when I had a year and a half, no, I'm not ready to be sponsoring people. And I talked to my sponsor about it, and she said, if that's how you feel, that's fine. Mm-hmm. But what she did make me do was she started setting up like things for me to give women regular rides to meetings, and making sure that I give out my phone number and making sure that I am reachable by other people. She said, just because you're not sponsoring them and you don't have a lot of time doesn't mean that you don't have anything to share and that those people might need to hear something that you're saying. To which I said, huh? But, I mean, that's in lieu of... So I didn't actually sponsor anybody for real until I had 2 years.
Yeah.
And I had gone through the steps with her all the way through.
Yeah, because like when I came into Cocaine Anonymous, my sponsor had 14 months more than me.
That was forever. Forever.
Yeah, and he was from West L.A., which was, you know, the home of CA. But the guys around San Gabriel Valley who were sponsoring people had like between 6 and 9 months. And you had the most time in the room, so you became a sponsor.
I clearly remember looking at guys with like 6 months going, that guy's a god.
Yeah.
You know, I was like, wow.
Yeah. But now, you know, people who are newcomers have 6 months of non-continuous sobriety.
Yeah.
So, you know.
I have a guy right now. He just celebrated 4 years. He does not sponsor. I keep getting on him about that. I'm having problems getting him to go to meetings right now.
Yeah.
And he'll be quick to say, well, I know lots of people that didn't go to meetings for long periods of time. Uses my buddy James as an example. Uses my sponsor as an example. Worked out fine for them.
Uses me as an example.
And I'm like, well, James slacked off on his meetings at like 21 years.
Yeah.
I'm like, you got four. I'm not saying, you know.
I started breaking at 10.
So did my sponsor, Roger.
Yeah.
Roger took a number of years off.
Yeah.
And
I'd show up for a cake every now and then.
Yeah. Well, yeah.
I get a sweet tooth every couple of years.
get a sweet tooth. So, Shelly, what would your final words on when you should start sponsoring be?
I don't know. It doesn't say in the book, obviously. So, I mean, it's not like there's a hard and fast rule, but I think that we have a responsibility to make sure that, you know, the phrase is, let it begin with me. Just don't let the garbage begin with you. You know, as long as you have a good foothold, then maybe you can help. I guess that's what I want to say.
No, I like that. Don't let the garbage begin with me. Mark, what would your final words be?
If you've worked your steps and you feel you're not ready to sponsor people yet, start out by making friends with a newcomer and just take them to coffee just so you could sit and get used to listening to people. Your higher power will guide you from there.
There you go. I like the... I like the term, and I'm going to make it less program specific, but where they say, you know, I want there to always be the hand of your choice of A available to the new guy that needs it. So I'm in agreement with Mark. You can always help someone. And if you're in a few steps and you're not comfortable with sponsoring or your sponsor has told you not to sponsor, tell the person you'll help them through step one while they're looking for another sponsor. Mark, who's our friend back east?
That'd be Bruce.
The other white meat?
Runs the 12-Step Gazette at 12stepgazette.com.
.com.
You can read his fine publication online. You can have it emailed to you and get the subscription prescription, and he'll send it to you via the United States Postal Service. If you have a recovery home or any of those places where many of us sick gather, contact Bruce and he'll send you some hard copies to strew about the facility.
Awesome. And?
Go ahead.
There's also the 12-step Gazette. Yeah, 12-step Gazette.com/IE. That's for the Inland Empire edition. If you guys get the chance, you might want to check that out because this is someone that started one as a result of Bruce the Gazette guy, and they are making money doing it. I know that no one out there
needs
to make any money because jobs are plentiful. But this person is doing it and apparently thus far is making it work. So I think that if you've got nothing going on, you might want to look at that as well. Shelley, people listen to the show.
Oh, any way you listen to the show, we really appreciate it. But if you could go to our website, recovery101.net, click on one of the shows, click on like or permalink, If you're a member of Podomatic, you've been counted. Thank you. That helps us with our numbers. And if you haven't, if you're not a member of Podomatic, you can become one. It is free.
And fun.
And you can like old shows and leave comments and topic suggestions. You can follow us. You'll get automatic updates when we post the shows. And you can put us on playlists for all your party needs.
You know, when you said, you know, any way you listen to the show, every time either you or Mark says that, I get that TV commercial in my mind for the insurance for the guy goes, you know, anytime, any night you need to call me, any way you want it. And the guy goes, that's the way I need it. He goes, any way you want it. He goes, wow, we just had a little journey moment, didn't we?
Yeah, we did.
And the guy goes, yeah, saw him in Fresno in 1984. Place was crawling with chicks. And suddenly you see the guy's wife look up and he goes, oh, gotta go.
Gotta go.
If you are Facebook friendly, you can like the Recovery 101 fan page. If you'd like to be more anonymous online and not let everyone know your business, then first of all, don't post a bunch of recovery pics on your photos. But you can join the Recovery 101 group. You do have to ask to join. If you ask, ye shall receive. If you spam, ye shall receive the boot.
The slipper of death.
Shelly will whack you with the slipper of death. Let's see. We have an email address at recovery101radio@gmail.com. If you'd like to join the crack advertising staff, that's recovery101radiosales@gmail.com. We've got videos at youtube.com/easylook and youtube.com/recovery101. Rule 62.
Do not take yourself so damn seriously.
Shelly.
Yes.
Who's the lead-out music by?
Yes.
How can I get deer in the headlights?
Oh, I thought you were telling me somebody. 8 days clean.
Eight days clean.
I know.
Everybody, try and leave it better than you found it and be the example.
We're out.
And take care of you.
comfort I need. Well, do you blame me? Will you forgive me? That's what I need to believe. Beautiful life taken from me. Anger towards a God I don't even believe. So God, I ask why I'm down on my knees. You should be the one begging me. Beautiful life taken from me. Anger towards a God I don't even believe. So God,